Excel Shop, who's what's going on? Jibreel Malumi YouTube, and welcome back to Malume's Life.
Disappointment will always be disappointment. And whether you're dealing with it or not, you will feel it.
Excel Shop, who's what's going on? Your favorite South African YouTuber, Malume YouTube, and today we've got a brand new podcast. We've got Cape Town's Fighters in the Bold, and we've got Salome Laka. How you doing, Salome? And we've got Level Hang in the building, to Level Hang M. And today's a really cool podcast. You guys know all about empowering the youth, you know, bringing conversations to you guys, showing people that look like you and putting them on your screens and speaking about their, you know, what they've been doing and their journey. So today we've got two beautiful entrepreneurs who are YouTubers killing it in the YouTube space. But today's not about YouTube, it's about what they've been doing outside of YouTube. They've been making money before they've even like graduated and got their degree, which is beautiful. Both in the beauty space, both in the fashion space. We've got Salome, which is really cool. She is, Sapang's done a lot of things. She started off as a makeup artist. Yeah. You know, she used to sell lashes. Yeah. And then now she got the nail bar in Pretoria, which is really cool. Yeah. I was actually at the launch of the nail bar, which is dope. Yeah, that was really nice. And the Level Hang, we've got the Level Hang M Apparel, which is really cool. She's bringing fashion and beauty to SA. Because all the stuff you have, you can't really necessarily get it. Like, what do you shop on? The things you have.
I mean, you can, but...
It's not a Mr. Price stock. It's not an H&M. Are they there?
I mean, but like for people around the area where I am, or you know, I have a lot of people from different provinces and whatever. So for them, it's not as accessible as obviously the people in Cape Town, which is the market.
Which is really cool. So when you're speaking about their journey, touching on their background, how they got started, their challenges, you know, how they've grown their amazing YouTube audiences, the strategies they've used to build and scale their businesses. And it's going to be a very chill conversation because these are
that
my friends.
That doesn't sound chill.
It is chill because they're my friends.
Omara.
Like outside of the entrepreneurship, we rock together, guys. We have a lot of fun, which is dope. Yeah, these guys like groove. They've actually made me the one that grooves.
Tato, don't lie.
Tato, please.
I'm telling you, every time I come to Cape Town, it's always like, yeah, so what are we doing? And I'm just like, yo, I'd like to just, you know, have a cup of tea.
I thought you lie. You also initiate sometime.
I do initiate. So how's Cape Town been for you guys before we get started? Because you guys are both based in Cape Town. And I know you're both from Pretoria, actually. Mm. Yeah. So how's it been like, you know, staying in Cape Town outside of Pretoria?
Go first.
You can go, friend.
I can start with you,
okay, man. I don't know. For me, Cape Town is like just so inspiring. You know, you look here, you see, it's just luxury everywhere. Like you won't want to just sit down and not do anything with your life. You know, you're inspired every single day to just do better and be the best version of yourself.
Yeah,
that's what I like about it.
Yeah, that's true. It's very inspiring. Every time I come here, I feel like I want to work harder.
Exactly.
Yeah, it shows me like what's possible.
Yeah.
And for you, what you like Cape Town?
I mean, my stay here has been okay.
Because you've been here.
Yeah. No, we've both been here. I came off the label, actually. Oh. So it's been good. Like, I think I've been enjoying my stay here. Mm. Like, and I don't know. I'm enjoying it. But I do want to relocate. Like, it's been,
Relocate to Cape Town?
Nope. Sorry, just my interview. But it's been nice. I like it. I mean, I don't want to say a lot because... I don't know, but like genuinely it's inspiring, you know, people are really doing great outside and like you can see no one is settling, like no one is at home, everyone's working, everyone's busy, bro.
All right, cool. So outside of entrepreneurship, you guys are both students, which shows that you guys obviously value education, you know. Yeah. What are you guys studying?
I'm currently studying brand communication.
Yeah. But what did you do before that? Because I know that you've been graduating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been hard. It's not easy. And I really think like this year is like taking a toll on me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's deep. What's happening? How do you feel like
that?
Deep?
No, I just think like this year is just like harder, and I didn't think I was ready for it. And I feel like I need to force myself to work. Like, it's just like if I'm not gonna do it, no one's gonna do it.
Yeah.
Like, but it's so hard. But like, it's fine. You'll cry and be fine and again.
So now you're doing your honors, no?
Yes.
So do you feel like there's a big difference between like the undergrad?
I think
and
moving
honors?
To like a private institution is the difference. Like, the work is not the same. Like, formats, the way you write, it's not the same. And also, I was like in a practical institution. Now I'm more like in a theoretical institution.
Yeah.
So now like it's like writing, and like it's like.
Yeah, it's a lot. Mm. And you already studying. Your sister was saying you study. I got different answers. I don't think Kensan knows what you study.
That's what I'm saying. What did she tell you?
Because she told me that you're studying quality survey.
Okay, I'm studying construction management.
That's what Tapan said.
Yes, but I am going to branch into quantity survey.
Quantity survey.
That's the job I'm going to get.
Yeah.
Yes, in quantity survey.
Yeah, because Kensan was saying that like you've never actually wanted to have a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Yeah. because that was powerful for me, because I've never had 9-to-5 and I don't plan to have one. And it's like, it's a big, you know, goal of mine to never get one. So outside of your degree, like once you finish it, then what's your plan to avoid the 9-to-5? Is it the fashion apparel that you've been doing now?
Yes, my plan is to basically just own multiple successful businesses. You know, I'm trying, and that's why I'm starting now. While I'm still like, you know, while it's not my main priority, you know, I'm still in school, I'm still a student, I don't have that many responsibilities. So I can still start it and just learn my way so that when I am done, I kind of know the ropes around like starting businesses and whatever.
Yeah, I think it's so powerful for the youth to start like when you're still studying. Because like there's no like, you know, pressure of having to pay your bills. There's no pressure of having to like feed your family, which is really powerful. Outside of those things, you guys are YouTubers.
Yeah.
I think you guys are like the biggest YouTubers in Cape Town. No?
No.
Like top 10. Not you, like you're within the biggest YouTubers.
Top 10. Since
No. I'm saying you're within like the top 10.
Oh.
In my opinion.
I don't even think there are many YouTubers in Cape Town.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I know, like, I mean, outside of you guys, outside of you guys, I just know Kay. Kay is not necessarily from Cape Town. She moved to Cape Town. Well, just like you guys.
Same thing.
Yeah. In my mind, you guys actually live in Cape Town, yeah? Which is crazy. Okay, cool. So now, give me guys a, like, you know, some background about you. What inspired you guys to, like, be YouTubers?
Please, I was waiting for this question.
I'm preparing for it.
I was waiting for this question because ain't no way.
Because
okay, what is the question?
So, like, what inspired you to, you know, start being a YouTuber and, like, be in the business space?
Oh, okay. Okay, one thing about me, I like things, right? And I started watching this American vlogger, and I just liked the whole lifestyle of being a vlogger. Hey guys, welcome to my channel.
Soft.
So today I'm doing this, you know? So I'm giving me, I want to walk around with the camera and tell people what I'm doing. And that's how it started. It wasn't necessarily a thing of, I want to make money, I want to start making money. No, it was just a thing of, I want to be like her.
Yeah.
And then that's where it started building up from.
That's nice, yeah. Same. I think same with me. What about you?
I don't know. Initially, I don't think I started YouTube because, I don't know. I don't remember why, but I think you told me to start YouTube.
No.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because we actually go back.
Yeah.
But
I
then
think you told me.
You were already a YouTuber.
Was I?
Were you?
No.
Because I know with Kamo. Kamo was speaking about becoming a YouTuber.
I remember I used to do my makeup really well. And you're like, bro, actually, you can like make videos.
Seriously?
Don't you remember?
I don't remember.
Bro, I always say this. Guys, wait. Correct me. Like, I always say, Tato is the one that got me onto YouTube.
Well, she owe me 10%.
No, for real.
And I've been seeing you work with a whole lot of brands. You've been told a lot of those things.
Yeah. You know, I've been enjoying the space. I won't lie. I have. It's fun. Yeah.
And you guys have actually monetized well, because we know YouTube pays like monthly in terms of AdSense. Yeah. But I've seen you guys both work with like multiple wig companies, a whole lot of brands, and a lot of like people are interested in like how they get brand deals. So with you guys, how did you guys get your first your first brand deal?
I don't remember.
I actually remember. It was a hair company. I don't know. It was a hair company, actually, that I first started working with. And I think it's because I was just, like, you know, installing my own wigs, doing makeup and stuff. And I guess that's how it attracted them.
Yeah.
So that was my first hair company. And then from there, more hair companies started coming. And it always starts with the hair companies, right? Mm-hmm. It always starts with them. And then more other brands just start coming in.
That's true.
So would you say you had like an active strategy to get your first deal, or they just saw the link? And
I think, I don't know if I told myself that, like, okay, maybe I need to. Yeah, actually, yes. I did a video because I'm like, okay, they'll probably think that I'm doing a hair review or whatever. So I started posting more videos of me installing my own hair.
Yeah.
And then that's how, yeah.
Because you saw that there was people getting those types of deals.
Yes, yes. And I also wanted to be part of, you know.
Yeah. The girls that are making coins.
Yes, I wanted to be squeezed into the industry.
Yeah. How about you?
Same thing.
Mm. Nah? Yeah.
I installed like one of my hair or my units. And then they all just came.
Yeah.
Mm. And it was nice. There were so many of them.
Now it's dry.
I think it's actually like a tough time for long formatted content. Like the brand deals on TikTok, Instagram. I think YouTubers aren't getting that many brand deals anymore. I don't know. Because if you guys think of your deals, is it like on YouTube, like, or is it YouTube gave you a community and then you're getting deals on Instagram and TikTok?
I actually don't know. Like, I think with. Please, question again.
Are your brand deals mainly on YouTube or mainly like on Instagram?
Both.
Both,
but I think mainly on YouTube.
Yeah, it started on YouTube and then
it's moving.
It went out into other spaces,
And then outside of hair.
But now it's not even YouTube anymore.
Yeah.
Outside of hair, do you get deals outside of hair on YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. You guys must teach me because I don't get any more. A few. Yeah, that's what you guys are here. I think you guys are you're killing it. Let's go to challenges you guys have faced. Let's speak about your guys' businesses, man. So when you guys first started your businesses, what's the first step you guys took to start your businesses? Like, I know with me, with like, what have I been doing? What's my business? With my production company, I did like a whole plan. I was like, okay, cool. I want to, you know, have a plan.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, make money like this. I want to employ these types of people. That's how I make it feasible. What's the first step you guys took?
Show me. Okay. I think the first step I took was...
As I think.
You're using her now.
Smart. I think it was like overthinking. That was literally the first step I took. Overthinking and just procrastinating. Like, okay, let me wait till I'm ready. That's literally the first step I took.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how did you get ready? Because that's the hardest step.
I just started. I didn't raise any type of money. I didn't plan anything. No type of, this is how I'm going to make money. I literally just started.
Yeah. So you're thinking about the look and feel. We're like, nah, let's like, I want to start selling things now. Like, this is how you buy.
Yeah.
Straight into the buying, no?
Straight into it.
And then you, Tapang?
Same. But I think that also kind of like, it threw me under the bus, low-key. But what I'm saying is I also kind of just woke up. I didn't wake up one morning. I think it's always been a thought. Yeah, but what are we talking about? Are we talking about makeup?
Oh, I get that. Let's talk about looms, your nail bar.
So I woke up one morning and I'm like, you know what? I've always wanted to own a salon. So, and I'm like, and I want a really pretty one, you know. I want a very girly aesthetic and I really want this and that. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it.
It's time, yeah.
I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
But I did it. And Gabula Kaira. And then
what's the first thing you thought about though? Because you know a lot of people they want to do these things, man.
Yeah.
But they don't know like what the first step to take is. Like, okay, cool, you know, you're overthinking it, it's quite like scary, but what's the first thing you did? Did you like she was saying she didn't even think about the funds. She was like, okay, cool, you know what? I'm just gonna start doing the actual service. With you, like you were saying, you're thinking about the look and feel.
I mean, I started, the first thing I did was definitely look for a place.
Yeah.
Because like, I needed a place. Also, you know, like when you obviously, like when you want to start a business, you need to look at your environment also, especially if it's like in a fixed place. So I was like, there's like Pretoria West, right? There's town. And I was like, I need something in between. Give me something in between. And I'm like, that's where I'm going to situate it.
Nice.
I want people from that side not to travel to town to get their nails done, but rather, like, I want to be in the center. And then that's what I did. And I looked for a place. Unfortunately, I couldn't get, like, there weren't places, but I was able to collaborate or, like, work within a salon.
Which is for me, that was so genius. Because I never knew that you actually partnered up with an existing salon.
Yeah, same. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because rent is expensive. Because I saw the opening. Because with the opening, it's like, it's an existing, it's like a hair barber, innit? It's a hair barber. Like
you probably lighted up that salon, girl.
Yeah, you made it look.
Yeah, I think
it looks so good.
You see the difference between...
I can imagine. I didn't see it, but I can just tell.
Shame. Yeah. I think they were very excited and like, And then I got that space. I was like, you know, let's start. And I remember buying paints, buying this, right? I was so excited. And that's basically, I just really went at it. And I'm like, life is about taking risks.
And then what are some like challenges you guys went through when you're doing this? Because you've started now, you know, you're doing it. But then think about it with like YouTube. When you're editing a video, when you're doing something, like there's always something wrong with your laptop or something wrong with the software.
Hate that I go through that.
Do you understand? So how is it like with like the business side? Like what challenges did you guys face? And how did you overcome them?
Okay, Frank, do you want to go first?
Okay. I think the main challenges I went through was the funds. I feel like if I really had like an investor or I was really just a rich girl, I think I wouldn't have come across any challenges with my business, you know, because then I would have been able to market properly, take proper product pictures, get models, you know, influencers to like model my brand. Like it's really just all about the money. Like if you don't have the money, it's kind of tough and you kind of just have to use what you have, you know.
That's so true.
And as a great YouTuber, you learn to use what you have. I mean, we used to use cell phone boxes as tripods. You know what I'm saying? So I literally just had to use what I had, but it wasn't giving the quality, you know, it didn't intrigue people to my brand and to my business and stuff. So I think that's the main problem I went through.
I like how you overcame that. You literally just said, okay, cool, I don't have the budget to use these influencers now or get this high quality product picture. Let me go and use what I have, which is powerful, because as you do that you might get that one sale, the two sale, which makes it into, you know, money you can use for marketing,
save up for that.
So that's really really powerful. And then YouTube, let's go back to YouTube, because you guys are doing YouTube well. How do you guys think you guys have been growing your guys' like audience on YouTube? Because a lot of people want to start YouTube. Because if you think about it,
I'm
really proud of you guys because like a lot of people grow a following, né? And then they don't know what to do with that following. Like you guys had a following, then from there you get in the nail bar, you get in the apparel, you know, company. Yeah. So you're using your following to get customers, which is really powerful. Yeah. But some people don't even have that free marketing.
Okay.
So what have you guys have been doing to like grow that audience and basically have that free marketing for your business?
I don't think for me, like, I don't even think I want to say like my audience, my social media audience, like helped me grow my business. Mm-hmm. Yes, people knew about it. They knew that like Salome owns a bar now. But I don't think it brought traffic, like crazy traffic to my salon.
And I think that's the mistake people make. Like they think because they have hundreds and thousands of followers that like they already have customers. That's not how it works at all. Yeah.
That's not good. Actually, I didn't even know that. So that's good to like know. Because someone could be pushing their growing their YouTube thinking, okay, cool, I get YouTube.
Like people will know it, but doesn't mean like
they're going to take your action. Customers. Yeah.
So how did you guys then get your customers then for your businesses?
I mean, honestly, I think people knowing... I obviously use social media. Okay, let me not like disregard the fact that like I got maybe a few clients from like Instagram or my social media, but I do want to say that like just because Salome has this amount of followers doesn't mean they're all gonna rush to my salon and pull up.
Yeah,
do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, I obviously created a page and like a few would DM and then they'll like book, but I think just people seeing the salon, like I had more people like that came to the salon that actually walked in, like from... Let's take away social media.
Yeah.
They knew me by coming to the salon, like by seeing it, by seeing the, I don't know, the signage outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's powerful. So you use location, you use a signage, you use...
Definitely. How are people going to know?
Yeah.
You need to give your brand an identity, otherwise people won't know.
Yeah, I think people always forget about like the power of traditional media. Like you think everything is not digital. Digital marketing is probably like 15% of real marketing.
Yeah.
Like there's still the billboards, there's still the signage, the pamphlets still work today. Because not every customer has a cell phone high quality.
But Instagram. Let's not disregard that social media
is powerful.
And I think also family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think most of my customers were close friends, family, and like old friends mostly. Yeah.
Which is why it's so important. Like when you see your guys' friends starting businesses, you need to support them, because then it gets them going, you know? And then from there, it expands from family.
Because
now you got me buying your stuff, Gamo, anyone buying your things. And then from there, I tell five people. And then the product sells itself, which is really, really cool. What other challenges did you guys have outside of that? Can you think of anything else?
The nail bar. Distance was a barrier.
For you.
Because obviously I live the
distance?
Side.
Oh, your distance between you and the store.
So that's why I put it on pause for now, because I was like, ain't no way, I can't manage it properly. Like, I can't see how many people are walking in. I can't, like, you know, when you own a business, you need to be there every day.
Especially when starting off.
You need to be there every day. You need to see what's going on. You need to, you know, it's your business. So treat it like your baby. So I was not there for it. I was not there, and it was a problem. Like, she'd say, no one came in today. And I'm like, girl, how? But I believe that. But then you can't do that, like, a month. You're like, no, I can't get it. How will I know?
Yeah. Which is why it's so important when you've got like other people. You need to find ways to track them.
But also you can't trust how? People with like the things that are dear to you. Like
if
you
it's have not theirs, they're not gonna take care of it.
Thank you. Yes?
Yeah.
I got stuff lost there, like there was equipment that was missing. There was and I'm like, you know what, God, it's fine. Let me put on pause because it's not the right time then.
Yeah.
Am I get that.
Yeah, for sure. Go for it.
Okay. Sorry. And then would you consider maybe bringing it this side?
Yes, I would. But friend, I don't know if I'm going to be this side.
Oh, yes, kind of. That's the other thing. But also having branches.
Yeah, but one needs to go well also first.
True.
Yeah, true. If one goes really well, if I can master, like, I feel like it's capable.
And I mean, like you have Kamu staying this side. You have...
Do you think you'll manage a girl? You trust.
I mean, she can just go check in once in a while. Do you get what I'm saying? And literally, they won't even know when she's going to pop in. So it's like, your gamma could work in any minute. So you always have to be on point.
Shame, I've thought about it. Like, I've really thought about it, friend. Like, I won't lie.
Consider it.
Yeah, I know with me, it's not about me, but I know with me, like, my biggest problem with, like, business and stuff is also, like, scaling and hiring people and having people that you can trust. Which is why I think it's so important to use, like, family, close friends, and really teaching people, like, the vision. Like, showing them, this is the vision. this is what we can become, you know? And you have to sell that dream.
That is so true. I think if I had family, it would have run properly. Like, next to Navad.
Fully, dude.
I had to hire someone in nail tech who was still learning. Hey, guys.
That's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, but you learn from those things. Hey?
Yeah, true. I think now, if I do open it again, trust and believe.
Danger.
That smile says
I think it's going to do better.
I get that. So now let's go back to YouTube again, which I know. So I love talking about YouTube. how did you guys grow your audiences? I think that's such a powerful question.
Yeah, that is a powerful question.
Ben, do you want to go?
Okay. How did I grow my audience? I think it was doing videos that were out of my comfort zone. I think those ones brought a lot of traffic and a lot of.
I remember the one that went viral, your dancing one.
Doing that, you know, I also used to walk around campus and just like ask people questions. I used to do like, you know, crazy stuff, things that I probably wouldn't even do now. But that's what I'm saying, like doing things out of your comfort zone can really take you far and open up doors that you didn't know could open. So that's
and,
why.
And you like going to campus and interacting with people, you're basically collaborating with people.
Yes.
Basically a collab. Because now I'm going to big hat to them on your channel. I'm going to go tell five friends, post it on my Instagram story. Because I always tell people, like, when you start YouTube, use the people around you, like collab with your friends and add people. Because
then, great insights.
You've been vlogging from the beginning. You're still
like,
vlogging.
I'm trying to say, like, I don't collab like with a lot of people. Like, yes, you'll see my friends, you see my people, you see.
I've been begging you for a collab for like so long.
You've been begging who?
You
guys have collab.
I always we've never like have you ever collabed? Like I'm always like, yo, we should collab, and we say but it's always like, what are we gonna do?
But we're doing it now.
It doesn't count.
It's happening.
It doesn't count.
Yeah, to me, Tato, what are we going to talk about?
No, Tato Bulela, that's your problem.
Okay, let's go.
So now, how do you grow as a vlogger then? Because now you've been doing one thing. I'd say, is vlogging a niche? Well, not your league, it's your thing.
Yeah, it's like just lifestyle. Vlogging.
It's lifestyle. So now, what have you been doing within the vlogs to grow and like get people to subscribe?
Yo, that's crazy. I haven't been doing anything different. I literally...
There's no way. I can tell you so many things you've been doing different. Because I've been watching you since then and now.
Okay, I mean, obviously there's a difference.
Like
you can see the growth. You can see,
but what led
to
the
growth? You know what's crazy? Vlogging is camera, katamai. Do you get what I'm saying? Everywhere I go, I'm carrying this thing. But I think what makes it, like, the growth is... What I mean growth is, like, you can see this person transition from being that person, from having that, to a different space. Like, wahoo, like, the growth.
Even
like,
the confidence.
It's so personal, though, I feel like vlogging is so personal. Because it's, like... It's very personal. Because otherwise, I can talk about Director Bang. You just fall in love with the person you're watching. You kind of, like,
I think
relate.
That's one thing about you. People just love watching you. And I've been saying this for a long time. Since I started watching your videos, I literally just enjoy... Like, it's therapeutic. There's something therapeutic about watching
me. But you don't watch me no more.
Girl, I don't watch nobody no more.
Okay, well, I watch you, girl. Period. But, like, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, you've just been true to yourself. You've been authentic. You're just showing them who you really are, bringing them along the journey. That's how you get them to subscribe.
Do you guys ever go back and watch your old videos?
It's not cringe to me, because now imagine you didn't do anything that's out of your character. So going back, you're not really like... Oh, why did I do this video? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, for example, me looking back at my video, I'm like, why was I dancing like this? Like, I don't even know how to... Do you get what I'm saying?
I get that. That's nice. That's nice. Because you guys are actually like close friends, right? And I've seen you guys' friendship grow, and it's really beautiful. So you guys have seen each other grow each other's businesses now. What advice would you guys give each other in terms of YouTube, first of all, and then we'll move to businesses? So we can start with you. What advice would you give her?
Bombastic side eye.
I literally don't watch anyone, even if you're laying like.
No, I get it. I think, I think also YouTube also has phases where you just watch people and you stop.
I mean, there's a time where I'm like, let me
catch
up.
But
are
you guys ever scared, like, people are going to stop watching you at some point? Like,
cause I feel like I've been doing YouTube for so long.
I want to say something, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
Say it.
But, like, one thing that really scares me is because, like, I used to watch one YouTuber. He's a guy, you know, and just seeing... Like, I don't want to say this, but Tato, you literally just replaced them. Like, it's so sad how people forgot about this guy. And they
I feel like I know who you're talking
so
about.
Much. Yeah.
Yes.
South Africa loved
I cut
him
that out.
So much. Yeah, he was playing, like, he was working with so many brands and stuff. And now he's literally just forgotten. Like,
why? Under why the do mat. You? What? Okay, it's probably personal.
You know what she said?
Under the mat.
So basically saying there's like some people who are not relevant anymore.
Yeah, it's like you can literally, like what I'm saying is I'm using him as an example of how he was literally like South Africa's favorite and now he's nowhere to be. Yeah.
This is actually America, hey, because you need to keep relevant. Like, you need to stay, like,
I think that's intact, also like, where, like, trying different things comes in. Do you 100%. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that you don't become irrelevant. If you keep comfortable and you keep putting out the content that people are used to, someone will come and do it better. And
there's always better. Yes.
That's so true.
Yeah.
So and I think that happened with that person. Like, I think he was in a position where, like, he was very comfortable with what he was doing. And then from there, he was, like, you know, the face. And then from there, new kids came in. And then these kids came with new strategies.
It's
these
like a relationship. You need to be spontaneous.
Yeah. That's so beautiful to say. Yeah, wow. So I've actually seen that with your business. I was going through your pages before we started this interview. Mm. And you've actually removed, you know, the products that you were speaking about earlier.
Yeah.
The ones, because you're speaking about your products looking really cool.
Yeah.
And like the quality of them.
Yeah.
Mm. So why did you remove those products? And why did you put new products?
Okay, so I basically removed them because, number one, that phase is done. You know, those products are no longer selling them, so obviously remove them. But also maybe people want to see what I sold before and the growth and everything like that. But I don't know, I'm a firm believer in starting again. And when I do start again, I want to come back with better quality, better marketing, better product pictures. Just come back bigger and better. Do you get what I'm saying? So I removed them, and then I just started again just to start a boutique in the time being while I'm, like, raising capital for the next phase of Lebohang M Apparel. So, yeah, we have a boutique now, which is, like, Common Clothes.
Yeah. Because off-camera, we were speaking about, like, you know, the problems with, like, getting the materials and, like, you know, having to do the logistics.
Yeah.
And you said that, okay, cool, for now being to... For that brand, let me remove those problems through, like, this new strategy of the boutique. So tell me more about this boutique. How does it work? Like,
okay, so the boutique is basically like a drop shipping type of thing, right? So people order, place orders, and then I go to my supplier and just tell them, okay, I'm going to need this much and this and that, and then send it off to whoever bought it. So it's much cheaper than the first option, than the first... The Lebohang M Apparel before you know, where I had to buy like tons of material, you know, that came at a very expensive cost. And then also just paying the guy who does make the clothes, you know, he can't keep making one item every single time. So that was also like very costly. It was just taking a lot of money out and not a lot of money was coming in. So yeah, moving forward, I just hope I am able to raise enough capital to bring back the Lebohang M Apparel that people know. Because I did lose quite a lot of followers on my Lebohang M Apparel. Because obviously people signed up for my clothes.
Yeah, I mean, it has your name in it.
Yes, and my name on and everything. Not clothes that they can find in any type of store. Do you
get what
we
know when Lebohang M Apparel comes back, you've got
I secured the bag. Yeah.
That's dope. And what advice would you give her from what she said about?
Not really. Level, the old level or the drop shipping, the new one?
The new one.
I mean, I think it's a good, like, she take the risk. I think, like, you'll never know. You might just do well. And Level's always wanted to start, like, a business, like a boutique.
I think I want to start a lot of businesses.
She does want to start a lot of businesses.
We need to make money. It's tough. The economy is tough. This 9-to-5 thing is very, very hard.
So I'm proud of her for, like, actually taking this risk.
So we've seen the importance of authenticity and like staying true to your brand. How do you guys do that with your actual companies? Because now obviously I see with YouTube, you guys, you know, you're vlogging, you know, you're showcasing who you are. But how do you stay true to who you are with your business? Should I elaborate on the question?
Please. As I try things.
For example, you know, companies like can easily change and you can see I can be doing something. Like I can have a clothing business, but I can see this thing is winning. How do you know when to like switch over and like have a great strategy and switch over to something that's working and when to not be influenced by other things? Okay. You get me?
What, we're human. What are you saying? We are easily influenced by a lot of things. Let's be honest. And that's a normal like human behavior. Then that's okay. But
how were you not influenced to start something else besides your nail boutique?
I mean, I think, like, I think about these things. I don't know. I think right now I'm just focused on school. I really just, but, Tato, as I think of how to answer your questions, because, like...
No problem.
Ask something?
Okay.
But have you ever thought, oh, maybe I should start this business, or let me try this business, or, you know, have you ever thought that?
I do want to start a premium hair business.
But is this because of influence and a lot of people selling hair, or is it because of what you like and what you want to do?
Personally, I think one thing about me, which is really bad, and I never think it's a good business strategy, is like doing what you love and giving it to people because you assume. Because I personally feel like the only reason why I want to sell hair is because I love hair. And, you know, like, I love good hair. So I want to, like, I want to give people that. It's like my nail bar. I said, I love going to a good salon. And I love going to a pretty salon where I can snap, where I can... And I wanted to give that to people. Do you understand what I'm saying? But, like, also... Why am I doing this? All just so subjective. Like, it's all about me. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Also, like, with my hair business, I'm just thinking, like, it's me. And I'm like, I love good hair. Like, let's give people good hair. Do you get what I'm saying?
That's a good thing, though.
It is a good thing. Mm. But sometimes I feel like, depending on your whatever business it is, it's not. Sometimes there's a gap in the market. And you kind of, like, just need to create a business. Yeah. It's not about you.
No, definitely. And that's what's tricky, because there's two strategies. Either one, you do something that's going to work. Mm. You've done research. Or two, you do what you love. And I've seen a lot of, like, us young entrepreneurs, we may start off, we do what we love. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, you love
and
hair, you'll sell
works.
Hair.
Sometimes it doesn't work.
You love clothes, you'll sell clothes. Yeah. But then now, I think there's time for us to now stop doing what we love and start finding those gaps in the market.
I swear.
And just being business-minded.
And let me tell you, once you find that gap, like, that's when your business will boom. Mm.
But I think there's so much power in, like, doing what you love. Because when you do something that you love, yes. you're motivated, there's that drive, yeah. there's passion. Yeah. You want to see because you know what to expect. You have a little bit, like, of experience for how it should be.
You'll generate ideas differently.
But sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zone.
Is this you?
So what advice would you guys give, like, you know, the old level hang or the old salon, man? Because now you guys have actually walked the journey of starting something and being at a certain level, man. Mm. What would you like to, like, you know, hear if you were in the position? Because, you know, a lot of kids are watching and they're struggling.
Yeah.
So maybe they can also resonate with that.
I think... Don't be lazy, you know, don't be lazy and don't try to find the quickest way to things, you know, because I easily could have gotten an investor through my dad, but he's not just going to, oh, you're starting a business, here's money. He said, give me a plan, give me a proposal, show me what I'm investing in, show me why I should invest in this, why you started, what's keeping you going, do you understand what I'm saying? And I was just like, Dad, why the formality? Like, just give me the money, you know? And I was literally so lazy because, number one, I mean, I do know, like, more or less how to make a business plan and all of that, but I kind of, like, forgot, you know, and it's... Also think of, like, I'm lazy to sit down and actually think about, like, okay, my business, what is it about? Why did I start? And the capital, and how am I going to generate this and that? And how, it's just a lot. And I was just lazy. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just use my own money. Like, I'll literally just use my own money. And that's just finding the quickest way out, you know? Whereas I literally could have also taught myself and just sat down and learned the ropes of, like, creating an actual business plan for in future, you know, when I do have successful businesses and stuff. But... Yeah, just don't try and find the easiest way out. Like, go through the...
100.
You know, not the traditional route, but...
Yeah. I think one thing people need to know about, like, the entrepreneurial space is that you're going to teach yourself everything as you're going. Because it's not like a school or university where, like,
and there's no manual to this thing.
There's no manual. And there's no one that's going to be, like, holding you accountable also. So there's no shortcut to it. Yeah. And, like, easy money doesn't last long. So I think that's a very, 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 very powerful point, dude.
Yeah. I'll just be like, don't be lazy. Do what you need to do. Yeah. Like,
stop avoiding the question. Chat to the question. It's your turn.
No. The thing is, I got what you're saying, but I was like, okay, but, like, what would you tell you?
Yeah. Like, take time on your craft, take time on, like, what you said, it's your baby. You know, take time with it, raise it wild. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't rush it now. Like, what milk is it? What's grown-up milk? No more milk. I don't know. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nah, I hear that. Yo, dude, I hear that. Hey, sorry. I'm just like, it's a really powerful point.
I don't know. What advice would I give myself? Honestly, I think, like, we are all just so capable. Like, do not downplay what you can do. Do not, like, I think we are just also capable. Like, I feel like back then I just thought I'm not like this. I'm like this. I can't do this. Like, listen, babe, you can do whatever you want to do. Just put your mind to it. Like she said, stop being lazy. We are human guys. Me, I like saying we're human, because I'm not about to judge a person for not doing something, because we are human. But I'm saying, like, at the end of the day, let's all have priorities. You know what's most important to you, and, like, don't fumble that.
I could take that. I could really take that.
Yeah. I think once you know what's important to you, you are able to, like, and I think we should also take the time to kind of, like, know yourself. Like, know yourself. Like, because, okay, I'm diverting, I know, but...
Oh, it's okay, go for it.
No, but, like, I mean, yeah, we're all just so capable. Don't downplay what you're... Just, I don't know, I think the more you believe in yourself and the more you tell yourself that you can do it, you can really do it. Because there are days where I feel like I can't do something, but in a week... I've done it.
Yeah.
Like an assignment.
Yeah, like an assignment.
It's so difficult when you get it, but when you do it last minute, you're going through those
And I'm telling you, and you're like, why couldn't I ngabekile last minute?
Yes. You were very much capable.
Mm-hmm. So how do you guys push yourselves in those moments then? Because it sounds like you guys know you can do this thing, or you're too scared to even do it, but then now there's a point where you have to just say...
You say, pushing, please. We just...
just do.
We just do. But, yeah.
I think it's also, like, announcing what you're doing, you know? You can't, like, have your business struggle and then just be like, oh well, you know, I tried. Like, people expect to see that business succeed. And I know it's, like, kind of, like, screw people, you know? But at the same time, being a people pleaser does kind of push you in a way. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm. Like, you won't just give up because you're like, yo, people are expecting me to fail. People are expecting me to...
That's where the problem is at, though.
Where is it?
That's where the problem is at, because now, besides you wanting whatever to grow or whatever, we can't, like, I think it's, I don't think that's okay. That's all I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's okay that we should, like, consider have people behind our, like, behind our mind or whatever. I just
think.
Speak on it.
I don't know if I've just generally just not become a people's person, but like, I think I would not do something because I'm thinking people, what? You're expecting my business? What? Wait, my business? I'm worried about my business because I'm scared people don't see it fail. What?
No, not that. Like, for example, with me not making profit, you know, I really could have just been like, you know, screw this. Like, I'm going to stop this whole thing. Like, forget making money.
And then that pushed you to, like...
But then I'm sitting and I'm like... Also, just thinking about where you want your brand to be in future, but also think about, like, your haters and people who literally just wanted to see you fail. It's a thing of, we knew she couldn't do it. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's a thing of, I'm going to shut you up and I'm going to do it.
100.
And I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. But just be successful.
100.
And, you know, shut you up. That's what I'm basically saying.
100.
That drives me a lot. Like, when I get disrespected in the space, I say, okay, cool, let me keep quiet. Let me just work.
Yeah.
Because you're going to see why 100. You shouldn't have disrespected
100.
Me.
That's a very quick way to shut people up.
Yeah. And then from there, what do you do? Yeah.
I just don't care about what people think.
I know. You guys are saying the same
thing. I love that, though.
You guys are saying the same thing, which is powerful. Also, how do you guys feel about, like, announcing what you're doing? Because I feel like with me, when I say, okay, cool, guys, I've got this new channel, I'm doing this thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I sometimes do it to, like, you know, make my subscribers and my audience hold me accountable.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, ish. I might have rushed that.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have spoken about that. Maybe I should just actually just do it.
That happens.
See. Mm. So what do you guys do? Do you guys announce and then, like, go for it, or?
I think announcing is a good strategy to, like, get people excited and get people, like, planning to
go
onto your channel or buy from your business, whatever. Like, oh, did you see Salome starting? You know, it gets people talking, starts the conversation going. Whereas if you keep quiet and, you know, I'm ready, I've got my stock ready and stuff. I mean, yes, you can still make people wait for a week before you drop, which is, I think, a good thing. Maybe announce once you have everything right there.
That's my problem. The everything.
I get too excited. Yeah.
I get too excited. Then from there, like, I don't even have a plan.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool, I'm going to do this thing. And then I launch it. And then it's like, okay, cool, now. Nah. Do it, Tato. It's like, okay, I did it for 2 weeks.
I think announcing is good. Low-key, it kind of keeps people on their toes.
And you yourself.
But sometimes announcing is just like, just
until
it's on the table.
That's nice. It's nice.
It's on the table. It's like, what? But announcing is also good.
Depends. Okay.
You were a marketing student once, right?
Yeah.
You can tell us why it's good.
So now, how's the experience been like being a black woman? Because I know already being black is horrible. I know being a woman is even worse nowadays.
Babe, I'm Asian.
It's just worse.
I'm not here.
We even saw Nalidi Yin Yang being on the hand. So how's the experience like being a woman? Especially with speak about it now. We'll go into it.
Black woman, like a black woman in the creative space or black
in the business space.
I never think about that.
Mm.
I never think, oh, I'm a black woman. Oh, I'm a black woman doing this. And I think I should, but I never think that. This is the first time I'm thinking it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then how's the experience been? Like, Are you, because I know with other people that I've spoken to that are doing similar things, they feel like they're not taken seriously in the space with the people that they're working with.
Okay.
Like for example, like when you're doing your clothing and then you've got like the person doing your clothes.
Yeah.
Is it, do you feel like, okay, cool, this person is respecting me?
No,
how's that experience
no.
like?
Okay. Yeah. But I think also just comes with like finding people who respect your business, you know, like finding people who respect the quality that you're trying to put out there, you know. And I feel like sharing the same values as your supplier or whoever's making the clothes with you.
That's important.
I feel like I don't want to badmouth the guy who, because he actually watches my content.
Damn.
So, but like, I can easily just find someone who wants to make the clothes quickly. They won't care if like a thread is out, whatever. Mm. And you constantly have to be like, oh, but there's a thread here. Oh, but this, that. Do you get what I'm saying? Whereas if I found someone who is like a perfectionist who wants to put out good things, even if it's not theirs, like, That's what comes with, it's also part of business, like finding a reliable supplier, finding someone who matches your values and your, you know, you get what I'm saying? Mm. Yeah.
And you says to me?
Do you feel like
there's anything that's been holding you back from us, like being a woman?
No, I don't think that should be a thing also. Mm. But it is a thing, let's not lie. Yeah. But no,
so
I've never been in a position where... You know what? I think standing your ground, when you decide to enter, like, whatever you do, just stand your ground. Mm. Show that, like, you know what you're doing. That's why I went to, actually went for training before I opened my nail bar, for example. Because you can't, also,
masadi
kopelarete tseping. Like, whether it's an amo industry abana or, like, gender has black women. But I've never experienced anything like that. I've really just respect from everyone I worked with. I think like I've just never had a hard time.
And I think because you have that energy about you where like it's like I'm about my business, I know what I'm doing and don't even try. Yes. One thing about you.
Yeah, Sapang stands firm.
Yeah. I think maybe I'm too friendly. Like
I think friendly. I'm like you.
To me, I swear. I think with the guy who was making my clothes, I think I was maybe too friendly, and I'd be like, you know, but it's okay, yeah, can you do this, okay, yeah. You know, it's just like, I'm like a, okay type of person. I'm not like, okay, please make sure there's no mistake, make sure, I'm not firm, do you get what I'm saying? I'm always just friendly, but also it's a thing of like, I'm trying to create that
relationship
with the guy, but also I think maybe I didn't build that boundary.
Work is work. Work is work. Friends, it's friends.
Yeah.
Mm. It's so hard though, because the things are like, it's a, like, for example,
I don't want him
it's,
to hate me.
Yeah,
and
it's who you are.
Start with talking my business. And it's also who I am. Yeah.
And I think it's actually like, no offense, but because I'm the same way, I think it's a really bad, like, it's a big weakness of ours because we're so friendly and we don't know how to, like, tell people that, like, yo, bro, this is how we're working.
Yeah.
Like, you're actually working with me and for me, so we need to do it like this.
Yeah.
Like, I've hired many people in the past now, and I always struggle to be like, yo, dude, this is your job, do it. Mm. End up hiring people, teaching them the job, and then doing the job for them. Because I'm like, ish, I don't know how to say, dude, you're doing it. Yeah. Which is really, really tricky. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, matter work is work.
Please,
friends. Like, stand your ground, like, yo, I'm paying you for this. I expect good quality. I expect a good output.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
So how do you do it then? Like when you have a new person that's going to be working with you, even make it me. For example, I'm there. I'm going to be your nail tech. For example, I'm like, hey, you hired me. Interview. How do you then set the boundaries and set like how we're going to be doing things?
Okay, so obviously you have a contract, right?
Mm.
I think also the way you run your business is so important because already like people like you can't. There's, you know, formalities are so important also because it shows how serious you are about what you do.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? I set the tone with my contract, first of all.
For the lease agreement.
You have a contract with them. I had a contract with my nail tech. And then, obviously.
Landlord.
What I'm just saying is, at the beginning, show how serious you are about it, then you receive the respect that you want.
Mm.
Because if you're going to play, then they're going to play with you.
Mm.
Do you get it?
Mm. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay, cool. That's so nice, guys. Thank you so much for the conversation. Mm. One advice, like, sorry. Okay, cool. So I want you guys to both give advice to people that are watching now, you know, in terms of being a YouTuber, in terms of being in the business space. What's one thing you'd like to leave the audience with?
Always be true to yourself.
throughout your whole journey of being a YouTuber, whatever, because, you know, it's very easy to drift off when you make it and when you're still trying to make it. You know, when you're still trying to make it, it's like, oh, I'm not getting followers. You see those girls making content about, I don't know, crazy stuff. Do you get what I'm saying? And I'm not judging anyone, but that's not who you are. But you're like, okay, maybe if I post those crazy things, I will get more followers, you know? Sure. And that's how you lose yourself. And also making it, you will try to please people or try to do what's trending and just post content that's not you. So just stay true to yourself and, you know, you will attract your audience. You will attract the right people and you literally won't have to even try hard because you're literally just being yourself. You know? You don't have to think about anything. You just do whatever you want to do because that's who they know on your channel.
That's you.
Yeah.
Definitely stay true to yourself, you know, and, you know, I always get people asking me, Salome, I really want to start a YouTube channel, but then, like, I have this, I have that, I don't know, just do it, bro. Phone no rotary, iPhone 80,
or LED blacker,
I swear you can make it work, like, you can make it work. I started with a Huawei phone, that's an Android, by the way. P10.
Huawei.
Hey, Jimmy, but the name is you mentioned.
Is that how you say it? Huawei.
She says.
I'm Huawei.
It's not.
Huawei.
How?
Huawei. It could be that. Did you not work with the brand?
No.
You were kidding.
I'm ready to have you, please.
I'm working with Oppo, but yeah.
Oh, okay, yes. How's that phone?
It's very nice.
It's not a car.
Okay. I'll show it to you. That's Oppo. It's a new phone in the market.
But you're working with Suzuki, right?
Yes.
But now you can't work with other car brands.
Did you actually work with them after you got your car?
No, we were meant to. So when I bought the car, they were like, oh, this is really cool.
So you didn't pay for the car?
No, I paid for the car. Like, I wasn't working with them.
But, you know, a lot of brands, like, I've realized when brands, like, contact you, they say, have you worked with any company?
Yeah, dude. It's so important, like, the picture you paint on social media. Like, a lot of us, when we work with brands, they buy highlights. We put, like, the brand's names. Brands think you're tied to those people. So, for example, if you put, like, an old telecom deal, Vodacom won't come and work with you because, okay, cool. This person has recently worked with Telkom.
Damn.
So I removed all those things. And
I'm so glad I removed them.
Yeah, you should remove them.
You
just
really
be careful.
Think it will probably, like, attract them, like, oh, she's worked with this brand, you know.
That's true. Okay, yeah. I guess you could just put that in your media kit, no? Like, if
don't even put it there.
Nothing.
Don't have any association with other brands.
Crazy. That's a good one.
For example, you're saying,
so I should remove them.
Brands. You have them. Yeah, you should remove them.
Everybody has them.
Because we're excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do.
All of them.
Waste no time.
Honestly, go to close.
Okay.
Wait, did I finish giving advice to
you? I don't even think so.
Oh, because
I get one drift time.
Sorry. But
you're saying be your, like, just start.
That was enough.
Okay, cool. But yeah, thank you guys much for coming. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's a really nice conversation. Right. I'm sure again people got a lot of, like, knowledge from this conversation, which is really cool.
I hope so.
Yeah. I think they did because a lot of questions you asked is what, like, people ask us.
You guys.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you guys. That was really nice. Check them out on social media, guys. They're pretty much everywhere. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Their names and links are in the description. If you guys want to do one-on-one consulting, definitely use the link in the bio. It should be up by now because I'm starting consulting now. One-on-one consulting, and we've been writing an ebook, so that should be in the link if it's done by now. It's an ebook.
Yay.
On YouTube.
Girl.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, so the ebook should be, the link should be there. We'll be done by when this video comes out. Ne? Yeah, we should be done.
Crazy.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Ravens and catamarans, just get up on it, girl, if you want it. Ravens and catamarans, baby, give me a light, baby, living a life. Ravens and catamarans.